Buenos días, Alicia. Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. Let's get into the Word. Psalm 19 is the focus of today's sermon. Psalm 19. Let's read it together. Psalm 19, I'm reading from the NLT version. A Psalm of David. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The next few verses, listen to the cadence. Listen to the rhythm of it. This was originally a song of David. You can kind of hear it in these next verses here. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise and simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How could I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Bible is perfect, and the writer will take the... I want to focus on the middle verses talking about the attributes of the Word of God to remind ourselves and be encouraged by how amazing the Word of God is. The perfection of God's Word in verse 7. Did you know that the Bible is perfect? The Bible is perfect. There are no flaws. People try to find flaws. We were discussing this morning all the various people trying to find flaws in the Bible, but there are no flaws. They can't find any because it is the Word of God, part of God Himself, His very own Word. He's not going to allow His Word to be corrupted by mankind, by humans, by this earth. It is from heaven. It is not of this world. It will therefore stay perfect. The Bible is 100% trustworthy. And we can lean on the Bible completely. We can lean on the Word completely. If the Bible says something, I guarantee you, if you follow what the Bible says, it will work out for us. So when you open the Bible, when you spend time with the Bible, it can be a place of absolute security and comfort. I know during my Bible studies, I'm entering a bubble of perfection. I recognize this, and it feels so good. I'm entering a bubble of security. It's so wonderful to get into the Word of God because I know at least this is perfection. At least this would not let me down. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. Therefore, it is food for my soul. It is a real truth that does not change with any new passing fad, age, decay, and time. The Word of God is perfect and remains so. Verse 7 also says the Word of God is trustworthy. It's trustworthy. The word trust implies that when you trust somebody, there's a certain level of, you're not quite sure of something. That's why you're giving them your trust. You believe something will work out properly. The Bible says it itself is perfectly trustworthy, even if we don't know why. In fact, we should stop trying to figure out everything in the Bible, understand everything too much, because there are parts of the Bible that require trust. There are things that we're not going to figure out unless we follow what the Bible says. Then we learn how true the Bible is. So even if we don't know why, the Bible is trustworthy. I give you all a challenge. One day, try obeying the Bible even when you don't know why. Try obeying the Word of God even when it doesn't quite make sense. Try obeying the word of God even when the world says that can't be true. Because if you do so, I promise you will unlock the true power of God in your life. Then you'll be living by faith, not by sight. Then the power of God is unlocked like never before. Try obeying the Bible when you don't want to even. Even when you read something in the Bible and you say, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because the Lord said so. If you do that, I assure you, you will begin to unlock true spiritual health. You will see exactly how powerful God can be in your life because God's power is beyond any power in this world. Verse 8 says, the commands of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. They're right. The Bible is right. Not everything is right. Despite what the world wants to say, not everything is acceptable. Not everything is from a point of view. Not everything is relatable. No, some things are wrong. And the Bible is right. There is a right and there is a wrong. People who do what is right will receive that joy and be the winners, the rewards of the words of God. People who do what is wrong will lose. They will lose and ultimately lose their entire soul. Please don't fall for the lie that there is no right or wrong. For I have never met a person without some moral code. Especially among the same people who say there's no right or wrong, they are some of the most offended people in the whole world. I've discovered people who say there is no right or wrong are some of the most offended people of all. Because even for them, they have their own personal right or wrong. Everybody has a right or wrong. The fact of the matter is, though, is that if it's not God's right or wrong, it's whatever right or wrong that we think about at the time. Every day, our right or wrong can change. But God's right and wrong lasts forever, does not fade. It's real. It's eternal for the future. Follow the moral code created by the one who knows everything. If anybody knows who's right, what's right and wrong, it's the one who knows everything. And the only person who fits that bill is God. So get right. Follow the Bible. Be right. You can be right. We can be right. And when we act right, we will win. And there is joy in winning. Verse 8 also says, the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. The Bible is clear, as truth should be. Let me tell you a characteristic about truth. If you're trying to figure out, if you're looking at a variety of stories or a variety of situations, and you want to figure out which one is truthful, let me give you some advice. Very often, it's the one that's simple and clear. It's the one that is simple and clear. Once secrets and lies and self-interest get involved, then suddenly the word truth becomes complicated. Oh, I recall being younger and getting caught doing something and having to explain myself as to why I did it to my mom or to my dad. The truth was very simple, but it led to punishment, so I didn't want to say the truth. But the lie, oh, the complicated lies, I would say. Oh, the circles I run around and around. And my mom would check back in every now and then to see if that story stays the same. It's very hard to keep a lie going for a period of time. Very, very hard. Especially when you study government scandals throughout the decades. Study government scandals of the past and present. Dossiers, secret files, redactions, reports, whiteouts, blackout, deletions. It's funny how complicated supposed truth is today. That's not how the Bible is. No. That's not how the Bible is. And that's not how people should be who follow the Bible. We should also be clear and simple and truthful. Be open. Let folks know what is right or wrong. Don't hide. Don't worry about punishment. Don't fear a single thing. As the Bible says, those who fear have not been perfected in love. Give the truth out of love. I think sometimes we think being simple means stupid. We sadly link stupidity with simplicity. That's not always the case. In fact, I believe true intelligence is making complicated things very simple. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He took the most complicated, infinitely complicated mind of all, the mind of God, and spoke his truths in a very, very simple way. That's Matthew. That's Mark. That's Luke. That's John. Just ask Jesus Christ, who we all know nobody's more smart, more clever than he is, and yet he spoke in a simple way because that is true intelligence, the simple words in the gospel. Sure, there are some things that are hard to understand in the Bible, a few, but the important things that will make our life complete, that give everlasting life, oh, it's simple. Very clear and simple. Believe and be baptized, you will be saved. Simple as I don't know what. Verse 9, reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. I want to focus on the word fair because we've covered the Bible being true already. Some people get locked up trying to figure out who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, as if it's their job to figure these things out, to decide who's going to heaven or who's going to hell. Some people get offended talking about who's going to heaven or who's going to hell, as if they are to judge and they can decide what's right or wrong about somebody's everlasting destination. And some people may even try to use the word of God as if to tell somebody, you are going to heaven and you are going to hell. I decided for you. Let me clarify. The Bible never gives us the power to judge somebody's everlasting destination. We can say, get right. Yeah, we can see sin and say that's wrong and somebody should repent from their sins. That happens in the Bible. People do that in the Bible. But we don't have the power to send someone to heaven or send someone to hell. So I'm happy the Bible is a very fair book representing a fair God. Therefore, we should be a fair people. I'm happy the Bible is a fair book that says heaven and hell exist. More on that later. But mercy also triumphs over judgment. Verse 10, it says, they, the laws of the Bible, are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. The Bible is better than gold. Maybe we've not seen much gold in our lives. Maybe some rings, perhaps, or necklaces. So that might not be as impactful as it sounded in those days, where David maybe surrounded by gold, his son Solomon surrounded by gold. The Bible is better than gold. That means for us today, the Bible is better than any material thing that we value. Anything. I don't care what it is that we value in the material world, the Bible is better. The Bible is better than 4K, 5K TVs. The Bible is better than cars, better than houses and mansions, better than swimming pools, better than any pair of shoes that we can find. The Bible is better than all of our hobbies, better than video games, better than movies, better than beaches, and better than any vacation spot on the planet. The Bible is better than any earthly thing. I think that hits home better than the Bible is better than gold that maybe we don't even have. The Bible says itself is better, is sweeter than honey. The Bible says it is better, therefore, honey. Again, honey. Who eats, honey? We have other foods that we may value more than honey these days. Guess what? The Bible is better than any food that we can think about. Better than chocolate, pizza, a great cup of coffee, a piece of cheesecake, fried chicken, your favorite sushi roll. I'm sorry for talking about food before lunch, but yes, the Bible is better than all these things. Indeed, if I were to be stranded on an island with no cell phone reception being a qualification, because if I had cell phone reception, I get a cell phone because I can download the Bible, right? I can talk to somebody and get off the island. But if I was on an island with no cell phone reception, I can only bring one object. It would not be a cell phone. It would be the Bible. I guarantee you it'll be the Bible. Promise you, it'll be just the Bible. The Bible is categorically better and more nourishing than any other thing. If I was stranded, all the things that I listed above are good in moderation. Nothing here, pizza, cheesecake, hobbies, swimming pools, TVs, cars, they're all good in moderation. But the Bible is even better than any of the above in moderation. Even a moderate reading of the Bible, I've said before and I'll say again, if you can add 15 minutes per day more of Bible reading to your life will change. I'll say it again. If you can add 15 minutes more of Bible reading to your life per day, your life will change. That's a moderate Bible reading. The Bible is pound for pound better than anything listed above. If I had 1 hour left of my life, and I can choose to read the Bible or watch my favorite movie or eat my favorite food, I choose the Bible. Here's the thing. All of the material things listed above become sin if you do too much of it. Too much cheesecake, chocolate, vacations, TVs, cars, swimming pool. At some point, these things become sin if there's too much of it. If there's any proof that earth is not a good place, that it can't last forever, that it's corrupted, it's that. Nothing of this earth stays good if you add too much of it to your life. It's amazing. So it becomes corrupt. Even good things become bad here on earth after a certain point of consumption. But I promise, nothing from heaven. When we get to heaven, nothing in heaven will become too much for us. There will be nothing in heaven that will become a sin in heaven. Heaven's pure. Heaven's good. You can't overdo heaven. You can't have too much in heaven. And the Bible is from heaven. That's why you can't get too much Bible. It is pound for pound better and still remains good no matter how much you have of it. You can read the Bible 24 hours of your life every day and you won't get sick of it. Probably got to work, though, and do other things, take care of our family and friends, but you can read the Bible as much as you want, and you would never get sick of it. The Bible, in its pure form, will never hurt you. You can never have too much of it. That's because it is from God. The Bible is perfect. Finally, verse 11, it says, they are a warning to your servants, a great reward for those who obey them. The Bible is a warning. The Bible also contains the gospel. The gospel is called good news. The entire Bible is not the gospel. I'm going to clarify that. But the Bible contains something called the gospel, which is the good news. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. The Bible is good news because we can be saved from the bad news of hell. That's the bad news, really. Oh, yeah, a life without Christ is also miserable on earth. But hell? That's bad news. The Bible tells us in advance as a very clear warning of what to avoid. I don't know anything in life that is so clearly warned from. I mean, I've been told things in life. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. But the Bible is extremely precise and clear about what to watch out for. The Bible gives clear, specific, explicit warnings and details of sins. Breaks them all down. There's no new sin. Think of a sin, it's in the Bible. And the Bible gives full histories of people who do these sins and what happens in their entire lives. We have it all. We have details, examples, stories, warnings, what's going to happen in the future. So nobody can say, I didn't know. I wasn't told about that before. I didn't know. No. The Bible has it all. But unlike the world today, full of whiners and complainers who give no solutions, the Bible also tells us the solution to the biggest problem of our life. The solution to our sins. The Bible says how to escape this serious problem that we all have called sin, destruction, and hell. How to get out of it. How to get out of them and how to escape them forever and ever. The Bible says, if you believe in Jesus and you repent from your sins and are baptized, you will be saved from a very clearly detailed future if you don't do these things. The Bible is such a beautiful warning for us. When I first did this sermon, I wanted to end right there. That was my original idea, but when I reviewed it again, the last few verses I have to read because this is so powerful. They also link to last week's sermon in such a powerful way, talking about how, God, can you please show me what's wrong with me? Are we aware of our own sins? Are there sins that are secret inside of us? Look at verse 12 and 13. I love these verses. David was so concerned about being right. He says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? He wanted to figure them out. He doesn't want to be impure. He's not cool. He wants every bit of him to be right. He says, cleanse me from these hidden faults. I love that prayer. Lord, forgive me for the sins I don't even know about yet. Please take them out of me. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. That's a big one, isn't it? I mean, there are sins that we do, you know, that we reflect sins, you know, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that or done that. But the sins that we do deliberately, yeah, those are the ones that mess us up. Those are lifestyle sins, the planned for sins. He says, keep yourself from deliberate sins. He says, please don't let them control me. We cannot stop sinning without God. We cannot stop sinning without God. There is something in our life that will crush us without the Lord. I don't care how strong we are. I don't care how clever we are. I don't care how rich we are. There is something evil in our life that will destroy us if we don't have God. We are not tough enough to overcome this. So I love when David says, please, Lord, help me. I need you. Don't let them control me. I don't have the power myself to overcome these things. Then he says, I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. As we close, I pray these final words are for all of us. He says, may the words of my mouth, may the words of our mouth, and the meditation of my heart, may what I think about be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Church, the sermon is yours. Amen. As we stand and sing.